Okay, Sunday, 3:30:25, we're going to do part 9 of the Faith Hall of Famers. This is repentance from dead works, which to me goes right along with what this word says. God doesn't need someone doing their own thing, beating their own drum. He wants them to get on board, and I even talked about it on the broadcast this morning, about getting on board with God's plan and moving forward. If you don't, you're wasting your time. Absolutely. Wasting your time. All right. God is a faith God from Genesis 1 to the present. He has not changed. He did not change from Old Testament God to a New Testament God. Hebrews 11 clearly states these facts. So let's go look at Hebrews 11. You'd be better to do nothing than to do something. Just for the sake of doing something. You would just do better to just do nothing. Do nothing. But when you do, and God does speak, you follow Him. That'll keep you from making mistakes. Okay, Hebrews 11, the first three verses. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So no man down here did anything. God did it by faith. He spoke them into existence. The worlds were framed by the word of God. His plans haven't changed. That's the way He wants us to operate also. Our plans are what He tells us to do as a Christian. Now, if you're not a Christian, anyway. Old Testament or New Testament, God has honored faith where He saw it. Even Jesus called out the centurion when He said, well, you don't have to come to my house. Just speak the word only and my servant shall be healed. He said, I have not seen such great faith in all of Israel. He just took Him at His word. Faith does have a corresponding action, a work. Faith without works is dead, but it is not a dead work. Faith has a corresponding action that is not a dead work. It still has to be led by the Spirit. Look at Hebrews 6:1. This is one of the doctrines of the faith. The series that I'm teaching right now on television, not on the air, but we just had a shoot. 6:1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. In other words, you're not just doing your thing. God is not happy with dead works. He wants nothing to do with it. And He doesn't want His children having anything to do with it either. Okay, what is repentance? It means reversal. So, what does repentance from dead works mean? Repentance means reversal. Reversing that, doing just works, and listening to God doing His works. The Old Testament was just a bunch of ordinances performed to get by until Jesus came. This is Hebrews chapter 9. It says, verse 1 there, then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. There was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the table of the covenant, or the tables of the covenant. And over it, the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which is he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the now, then for the time, excuse me, for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. This just appeased God's anger until Jesus came. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater, more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, had obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. It's very sad to me that all over every town, that all these institutional religious practices are going on. Just a form of godliness without any power. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. We've got to come out of that. See, when people finally get their divine connection with God and realize where their source is, where the power is, it's not in external things, not in how many seminaries you've been to, how many degrees after your name, but what you know by the Spirit. Right here. For I would that, this is Colossians 2:1, for I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. See, that's just that mystery. Most people never get, even Christians. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not about an outside institution. It's not about who you know, except Jesus. And this I say, lest any man beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. I mean, you might come up and you know all the church you're associated with and all their doctrines and all their creeds and all their stuff. But if that's where you stop, you know nothing. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you're complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. This is all an inside walk. In whom also you're circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us when he which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward and of voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Just a bunch of junk. That's why I don't understand how Spirit-filled Christian churches can even go in their mind that they're supposed to do Jewish customs. No, no, no. All right, let's break this down. Subject to ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not. These are the doctrines, commandments of men. They look wise, the neglecting of the body, and will worship. This is the Lord speaking here. I abandoned the ordinances of the Old Testament when I left the box. Now my ordinances are written on hearts and no longer on stone tablets. The Old Testament was outward with rules and regulations, with ceremonies and sacrifices. I'm no longer a part of that. It doesn't matter how old the practice is or how holy it seems. It is dead work, and I will have no part of it. I no longer live in a temple made with hands. There is no longer touch not, taste not, handle not. The establishment of my day questioned my ways, but no matter what I did it Father's way, and you will do it Father's way also. Never mind what some might do or think. I always did the things that pleased the Father, and I was not a man-pleaser. I love all men. I died for all men. I did not trust myself to men because I knew what was in men. I trusted myself to Father. Men turn their hearts to their own ways and not to the heart of the Father. Look at a few scriptures here. John 8. He showed us the way. He said, greater works than these shall you do because I go to my Father. He showed us the way. The way he did it, that's the way we do it. Follow the Spirit. If he doesn't say anything, don't do anything. It's a no-brainer. Have to tell that mind to shut up. Go pound sand. When Father speaks, I listen. You have to keep that in your mind all the time. You cannot trust your flesh. You cannot trust your emotions. Your mind, your will, your emotions. Because they will lead you astray. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Boy, who can say that? He always does what pleases him. Colossians 4, 16 and 17. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. He's exhorting him, you do what the Lord says. Maybe he's being led off track. Matthew, go back, 15. I've read these two passages many times. It's kind of a pet peeve of mine, I guess. Anyway, we're going to read them again. If you get tired of me reading it, then when you start doing it, and I guess I won't read it anymore, the Lord will say, you don't have to read it anymore. They got it. Okay. Matthew 15, starting with verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the fathers? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? They didn't care about the power of God. They just wanted to make sure you washed your hands right. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. He that curses father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. I heard something the other day, and it was about... It was something that the president did, and it was a good thing helping lots of people. I think it had to do with arresting all these illegals, especially the ones that are gang members and everything. And these reporters were asking, well, how did they get treated? Who cares how they're treated? They've killed people. They come into this nation and killed people, raped babies. And all they could care about, that's this hypocrite bunch here. They didn't care about the power of God. They didn't care about somebody being helped. Just like he said here, you weasel out of honoring your father and your mother, but then, you know, here you are on my case because my disciples are eating a piece of bread without washing their hands. Hypocrites. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh to me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their hearts is far from me. The reason these people are doing what they're doing is because all their money's going away. And they'll do anything to sabotage the president because the money's coming back to the American people. Because if, you know, their money source is dried up and they'll say anything and do anything, they're desperate. Going down. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. President Trump can do something and they trash and bash him. But you can look back on tapes that were back when by Dan was in office, and they praise him for doing the same thing. Hypocrites. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, that defileth a man. Why? Because it's coming from your soul. Your mind, your will, and your emotions, strongholds of the mind. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? Oh, they ain't changed, have they? Same old bunch. They're descendants. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth into the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. This is the mind, the will, and the emotions. This is the production center. You want to know why people are sick? False narrative. Faith without works is dead. You know, and fear is works the same way faith does. People are operating on fear. They're exercising faith because they're made to produce. You hear faith words, it's going to trigger faith. You hear fear words, it's going to trigger fear. And this is how the world operates. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies, enemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. The whole world system is based on this right here. I mean, we got a whole commission on it. RFK Jr., nothing against him. I'm sure he's got a noble cause with the vaccines and things. But the point is, it's what you believe about it. What your mind is full of. If you believe it harms you and hurts you, it will. If you know it won't, it won't. All right, the next one, the companion, this is Mark chapter 7. Has a little different spin, but it is saying the same thing. Coming out of the dead works. That's why you have to renew your mind with the Word of God. So you will believe the right thing, speak the right thing. Mark 7. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defile, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they washed their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. When they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes ask him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? And he answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you, hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. That's why they wanted to arrest Jesus every time he healed somebody or did something. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curses father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, or whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. and ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. You know, the church, for the most part, still hung up on Israel over there. Now, I'm not talking just people we don't know. I'm talking big mainline denominations, faith denominations. They're all hung up on Israel over there. Ain't no Israel over there. The Balfour Declaration, it's a Rothschild operation. The real Israel is the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, which includes Jew and Gentile, slave and free, male and female. See, it's all inside, but the traditions of men ride on. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, "Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There's nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, that's his soul, out of his heart, those are they that defile the man." It's what they believe about it. If any man have ears, let him hear. When he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. He said unto them, "Are ye so without understanding? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? It's in and out. Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats." I'm telling you, most of the programmers, and I don't listen to many anymore, they've all got their list of all their health aids. They push it all through their broadcast. Health aids. You know, healthy. You know, healthy health aids. You might as well be eating the bottle it goes in, or comes in, the package it comes in. And he said, "That which cometh out of him, of the man that defile him." Follow the money, honey. We put our fear tactics up saying, you know, all these different things. They're, the new studies show this if you're over this age. Try to get you to believe it. Why? Buy their medicine. Buy their crap. It's all about the money. Not about you. If they were about you, they'd tell you the truth, right? "For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness." All these evil things come from within and defile the man. And what really steams it for me is, oh, these are God's cures. These are God's ways. These natural ways that God made to heal our bodies. Bull! The man Christ Jesus suffered and died that you can be well. You see the fallacy? Even in noble people, Christian people that want to do the right thing, but they're all messed up in their mind with doctrines of men. It's all mixed up with Big Pharma and all the exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable to all men. The exercise industry, they mix it all up together, and this has to be God. No, it isn't. It's men. Oh, help us, Lord, today. Abandonment of dead works. Right here, this is Mark 15, 37 and 38. That's what this ministry is about, to set people free from the strongholds of their minds. I figure we're going to have a lot of training to do coming very shortly. Okay, 15, this is 37 and 38. "And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. God's not going back into the temple in Israel. They can build them all over Israel if they want to. God ain't going back there. It'll still just be an old world and regulation. He ain't going back. He moved out of the box, and now he's in us. We're the temple of the Holy Ghost. Okay. He came out of the religious box never to return. He didn't want to be there in the first place. If he could have gotten the wilderness bunch coming out of Egypt to do what he wanted, he wanted them to walk by faith. Like Abraham. Okay. Acts 7. This, to me, is one of the most deadly doctrines above the rapture one. This has infiltrated the whole church. I even know of someone that's written all these books. And very smart woman, and even an apostle, I think. But everything in her books is filled with going back under Jewish customs. I couldn't even read there were several. I bought the whole set. I couldn't even get through the first one. I just want to look at her and say, sister, what are you up to? What God are you listening to? It seems she has a very personal relationship with him. All right, 7. And she's highly recognized, and of course. Okay, 51. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been long the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. This is Stephen being stoned. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Your dad brought out a good point. That's when they jumped on him because they believe he's still over in that box. No, he'd come out of the box. I wonder what they did. They probably all had heart attacks or something the day that they walked in there and the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. A 40-foot tall, 4-inch wide curtain ripped from the top to the bottom.
Verse 48.
Huh?
Verse 48.
What about it? I know, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. This is why they stoned him. Same thing I'm talking about here this morning. Oh, but the Jews, you don't touch Israel. Well, that's the church. You don't touch God's temple. That's the New Jerusalem. That's us. Okay. You know what? The Lord is no longer winking at what they do, and he is going to judge it. Has to be. Like I said, we nearly lost what our world as we know it because of this bull. And they think, oh, that doesn't have anything to do with it. Oh, yes, it does. If it can neutralize the church with false doctrines, whatever it may be, then it makes us ineffective against the enemy. Nobody can deny, even people who don't even believe in God, know that there's some kind of devil at work in this thing. Okay. Acts 17. The church dealt with it, but it keeps creeping back up. This is 1722. There in Jerusalem, the apostles, they dealt with this issue of the going back under the Jewish customs and things sacrificed to idols. Well, let's just look at that right quick. Can you tell me what verses those are, Danny? 16, I know, right? I'm looking at whatever they made the decision there in Maybe 7.
Chapter 15?
It's 15?
Yeah, when they get together.
Yeah.
Starting in verse 19.
Okay. All right here. Wherefore, verse 19 of Acts 15, wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that abstain from pollution of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. All this is what they are now going after the bad people concerning of doing pedophilia, strangling the babies while they rape them. That's all part of this, is what they're talking about. Not eating, because they're cannibals. They don't eat meat sacrificed to idols. They do sacrifice to idols, Baphomet. So that's what he's talking about here, the same old practice that they've been doing today underground, right there. They fixed it. But it keeps creeping back in. Why? Because when it does creep back in, what happens? We're back to Ezekiel and the hole in the wall. That's what they were doing. That's what has infiltrated all over, all those dumbs down in there, all over the world. They've been practicing this. Think, well, what does it matter? Well, it matters. Okay, 17:22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. See, Paul was looking for a hook. Well, he got it. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed in the boundaries of their habitation. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain of our own poets have said, for we are his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth every man everywhere to repent. Hey, we've come to that time. Every man to repent. God's not winking anymore. The major religions of the world are huge and they all worship in temples made by hands. I'm talking other than Christianity, and even Christianity, look at the Vatican. It is my hope that this great awakening shakes the world of religious practices. Just like how many millions of people follow these false religions, it will be a sad day when they stand before God and realize all they were doing were dead works to an evil entity. This is why we must take the gospel as the Holy Spirit leads us, like Paul said on Mars Hill. Same thing that Stephen said. We'll look at two more scriptures and we'll be done. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things come, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. Okay, 2 Corinthians 6:16, be the last one. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty.